Let's dive into a little football here with Max Chadwick of Pro Football Focus. Limits, you apparently sent me something here. Yes, PFF has got you covered all season long with the best data, tools, and analysis in the game. Sign up for PFF Plus today to unlock all their famous player grades and premium stats. Well, they're also grades that'll tick you off, and that's part of the business here. Steelers fans get very angry, Max, sometimes at some of these grades. But like they say, all publicity is good publicity. You guys have a mid-season all-pro team out right now. Thank you for joining me, by the way. How are you?
I'm doing great. Bring me on.
Absolutely. Let's look at the PFF mid-season all-pro team. Lamar as the quarterback, it's very hard to argue with that. Who else was in the discussion or should be, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think there's a bunch of quarterbacks you can look at that have been, you know, playing really well this year. I would argue that Lamar Jackson has been the best, but even with his team struggles, I think Joe Burrow has also been playing lights out football. And then I would even throw Jaden Daniels into the mix as well. Jaden Daniels is a rookie, has been unbelievable this year. He's been a big part of the Commanders' turnaround almost overnight, honestly. Now they're looking like a legitimate playoff contender when a lot of people thought they'd be picking in the top 10 once again this year. So, yeah, I think Lamar should be the quarterback, but I think Joe Burrow and Jaden Daniels are a couple guys that I put right behind him.
How does PFF grade Russell Wilson through two games, and where do you think it goes from here with him?
Yeah, it's been very encouraging, right? You see a guy that, you know, a lot of Steelers fans probably didn't want, Justin Fields, to get benched, because Fields, as a runner at least, was showing some really good signs, and so signs of being at least an average passer at times. But Russell Wilson came in and obviously has looked really good through two games so far. He hasn't really been like an elite quarterback by any stretch or measure, I would say, but he's definitely a better passer at this stage right now than Justin Fields. And I think that's what Pittsburgh's looking for right now. So Steelers fans have to be really happy with what Russell Wilson's shown through two games.
Through PFF's eyes, and I realize like the site might have one opinion, you may have another. So through your eyes, as a member of PFF, the Steelers said to be eyeing a number of receivers. I'll read you four. You tell me which one you'd go for by the trade deadline here. Cortland Sutton, Darius Slayton, Mike Williams, and Adam Thielen. Which one of those guys would most interest you, regardless of the return or the contract or anything else?
Yeah, that's an interesting list right there. You know, with a guy like George Pickens, who's a really good contested catch guy, I don't know if I would want to add another one, but out of those four you just listed, I would say probably Cortland Sutton I would take out of all of them right now. And I know Adam Thielen, I think, has suffered a pretty serious injury, so I don't even know if he'd be able to play the rest of this year. But, yeah, Cortland Sutton is probably the guy I would look at. But if you're looking for more of like a route runner type receiver, then you probably look at a guy like Darius Slayton. But I'd probably side with Cortland Sutton over any of them.
Now, has there been an update on Thielen, just out of curiosity? Because I thought he was back at practice.
His phone just dropped off. I'm going to try to call him back.
His phone dropped off. Okay. I thought Thielen was back at practice.
He's been limited at practice. At least he was limited at yesterday's practice.
I haven't heard anything like end of season, have you?
No.
That's rather alarming.
He's expected to be activated,
I don't think this week. I don't think that would be a good deal if he wasn't able to play the rest of the season.
Is that why Max's phone was disconnected?
It was Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen's agent
didn't like it.
Somehow got in there. PFF's midseason all-pro team, Lamar at quarterback. I have no problem with that. Do you, Wonder Twin?
No, I don't.
Derrick Henry as your running back. I have no problem with that. Do you, Wonder Twin? Oh, I think Max is back here. Wide receivers, Nico Collins, Justin Jefferson, George Kittle as the tight end. So Thielen, Max, you didn't hear anything new on that hamstring. You're just saying that that injury might linger?
Yeah, I think that injury might linger. Yeah, and I think that could be an issue for it. So I don't know if they would go after a guy like Adam Thielen. But like I said, if they're looking for another receiver, I know it's kind of redundant to what they have in George Pickens a little bit, but I think Cortland Sutton's still the guy I would probably go after the most out of any of them.
Continuing to look at the midseason all-pro team, Creed Humphrey, a lot of people here wish they had drafted him. I think that was the Freiermuth year. They took him in the second round, but they've taken Zach Fraser, and you guys have given him unbelievable grades so far. He looks like a rookie star, does he not?
Absolutely, yeah. Zach Frazier is actually the second highest graded center in the NFL right now behind Creed Humphrey. Now, Creed Humphrey has been far and away the best center in the NFL. Actually, you look at just the grades. Creed Humphrey has a 93 grade. The next closest, Zach Frazier, has an 82.2. So he's a grade that's 11 points higher than any other center in the NFL right now. But it's still really impressive that you have a rookie in Zach Frazier, who's already looked like one of the best in the NFL already. So that's a slam dunk home run pick that Pittsburgh made in the second round of the draft, and really helped fortify that offensive line that was a major weakness last year.
George Kittle, the starting tight end on your all-pro team. Where does Freiermuth rank among tight ends, would you say?
That's an interesting question. I think that Pat Freiermuth is definitely a guy that me as actually a lifelong Penn State fan, I really liked his time at Penn State. I would say he's a above-average tight end in the NFL right now, especially as a receiver. I would say probably like around a top 15 or so tight end in the mm-hmm. NFL right now, I'd probably argue with. There's still some things to work on in his game, especially as a blocker. But I do think as a receiver that he has been a good player for the Steelers this year.
Max Chadwick from Pro Football Focus. Okay, I'll toss in a little Penn State question. This is Penn State's best team since blank.
Oh, good question.
Thank you.
You might have to go back to that 2016 season when they won the Big Ten title and were just left out of the 14 college football playoff to find that. And you can even make an argument it's better than that team, honestly. So I'll actually be in attendance for that Penn State-Ohio State game this Saturday. I can't wait for that. And I think this is their best chance to beat Ohio State since that famous 2016 season that they had. So, yeah, it's been a long time since Penn State fans have felt this good about a team, honestly. And I think this is their highest ranking in 8 years as well. So it's been a really fun time to be a Penn State fan right now.
Well, my producer here, Austin City Limits Bechtold, will also be at the game. Perhaps you two could cross paths. Yes, Limits, would you like
great.
To meet Max?
Max, I will be there as part of the 110,000.
Let's do it, man. That sounds great.
All right, let's go to Defensive Player of the Year. You have your defense out. Aiden Hutchinson, just a shame because he was having such a great year. Two Steelers make the PFF midseason All-Pro team. TJ Watt on the edge, Cam Hayward inside. The rest of the team is Dexter Lawrence, is your other lineman, Fred Warner, Logan Wilson. Your linebackers, McCollum, Humphrey, your corners, McKinney, Branch, your safeties, and your flex is DJ Reed of the Jets. Who's PFF's Defensive Player of the Year right now?
Okay, so I think it's two different answers here that I can go with. I think if the season ended right now, I would give it to Aiden Hutchinson because what he was doing through his first however many games he played was historic stuff. I mean, he had like a pass rush win rate at like 40%. Usually, just for reference, the top guys are like in the high 20%, and that's basically just whether how much you beat your blocker one-on-one. Not getting a pressure, not getting a sack, that could also happen, but are you just beating the guy who's blocking you one-on-one? And he was doing it 40% of the time, which is an absolutely ridiculous stat. And then he's still, right now, he's still second in the league in pressures behind Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa only has one more pressure than Aiden Hutchinson right now, even though Hutchinson has missed the last 2.5 games. So, season ended right now, I would still give the award to Aiden Hutchinson. But since he's out for the rest of the season, he obviously will not win Defensive Player of the Year. Then I think you start to look at a guy like TJ Watt, who has just been really, really good for the Steelers as he's been his entire career. He's become like the best run-defending edge in the entire NFL right now while continuing to be an elite pass rusher. Whenever the Steelers need a massive play, he seems to always make it for them as well. I think he's certainly in that mix. Fred Warner has been unbelievable as well at linebacker.
Yeah.
So I think those are two guys that I would say are definitely in the mix as well. But if the season ended right now, I would still recognize Aiden Hutchinson for what was a historic start to his season.
All right, Max, let's look up and down the Steelers roster a little. This seems to me like your grading system is along the lines of what we'd see in, you know, high school English or something. So, what is an A? 90 or above? 80 or above? What is it?
Yeah, I think an A, you know, our grading system, like if you have like a 90-plus grade, that is like you're the elite of the elite, right?
Okay.
So that is where I would say 80 or above, you're like a really, really good player. 70 or above, you're an above-average player. And then when you're 60 or above, you're basically like league average, and that's just you're just doing your job, right? And then when you're below a 60, that's when you start to get to the guys that are below average, and then maybe even the 50s and 40s. That's when you start to get into like the guys who are really struggling out there. So it's a different grading scale than what you're used to in school. Like, I know, like, a 65 in school would get you grounded by your parents, probably. A 65 in PFF is actually, like, pretty average, right? So
okay.
Anything above 70 is pretty good, honestly.
All right, then let's run through some of these pretty quick. You have Russell Wilson at only a 65.7. Is that because of his rough start against the Jets, or he seems to have been playing better than that?
Well, yeah, and I think the rough start against the Jets, and keep in mind, like, it's a very small sample size that we have from Russell Wilson right now. So
yes,
that grade can change wildly as he continues to play, right? Because the season-long grades, the more you play, the less your season-long grade will get impacted because it's obviously a bigger sample size that you have. So if he continues to play like he did against the Giants, for example, he's a guy that could definitely move his grade up a lot. So that is why you see the grade maybe a little bit lower right now, because if any sort of bad play that you've seen from him could affect it wildly. But, yeah, like I said, that Giants game, that's what we're going to see from him going forward. He will move a lot higher up that list.
George Pickens is at an 80. That's close to elite status. And Najee is at a 78.7. He's been great. Where does that rank among running backs?
Yeah, 78. Like I said, it's around, I think it's like 16th in the NFL for running backs right now. So he's definitely been very impressive, definitely been a really good bounce back year for him. But I'm really impressed by him as a pass blocker. He actually has the second best pass blocking grade among running backs, only behind Derrick Henry right now. So Najee Harris is, I know it's a very forgotten part about playing running back, but he's been a really good pass protector too for Justin Fields and for Russell Wilson when he's been out there. So really good bounce back year for him, and he's definitely been one of the better running backs in the NFL so far.
I guess, but if he's only 16th, I don't know. I think he should be higher. Here's one I definitely disagree with you guys on. From the eye test, I'm not breaking down film, but Joey Porter Jr. at a 60, that seems very low for him, Max. What's happening there?
Yeah, well, listen, these grades, you got to keep in mind, is just what their assignment is at the same time. We're not really grading off of how difficult you're – like, say if Joey Porter Jr., a guy who follows receivers all around, he's definitely a guy that – just following the number one receiver all around, that, like, that's definitely a more difficult job than other corners, but we're not really grading just based off how difficult the job is. We're grading off how well you do your job. So that's a grade that, again, listen, I always say this in every hit I do. The grades are not the end-all, be-all. I know a lot of people, and it sounds like you guys were trying to do right now, trying to treat them like that. They're not the only stat that we go off of here at PFF. I know they're kind of the most front-facing stat that we have. But, yeah, it's just not the end-all, be-all, so you got to provide more context to it. And Joey Porter Jr., his job is probably more difficult than other corners' jobs. We're not really – we can't really grade off of that because that's a difficult thing. That's really an impossible thing to do, honestly. So he's definitely played a little bit better than that. I would agree with you. But like I said, the grades are not the end-all, be-all here.
What is if it's not the grade?
Well, we have a bunch of other stats you can find at PFF.com that you can dive into all the numbers.
I like that.
Listen, the grades are obviously the most famous stat that we have, but it is definitely not the only thing that we have either.
Well, here's what I would say, and I have a ton of respect for you guys and love your site because you have attempted to quantify what nobody else ever did. For example, a great example is turnover-worthy throws for a quarterback. Everybody would be like, that was a great game by that quarterback. Well, no, because when you look deeper, he could have had three interceptions. He actually didn't have a great game. So I would suggest with a guy like Joey Porter, if he's going to get such a lousy grade when the eye test is he's actually been pretty good, and you're telling me that one of the reasons for that perhaps is that he's going against elite receivers and following around the field, there should be a way to account for that in your stats. If your site is in pursuit of the deepest meaning possible, then I think you guys should try to find a way to quantify that.
Yeah, it's definitely a really hard task, but at the same time, like, you got to look at it like there's some receivers that you might think are the elite receivers that maybe aren't playing to an elite level. So then it's all of a sudden you got to continuously look at who is playing at an elite level. It's impossible. I'm telling you, like, we tried to do it before, and it's just not a very possible task for us to do. So we try to just go off of what their job is and how good they are doing at their job. So yeah, like I said, that's why the grades are not the end-all, be-all, because there is some context that needs to go into some of them, especially corners, because corners are a very, very difficult position to grade, honestly, with all the responsibilities that they have out there. So, yeah, Joey Porter Jr. has definitely played well this year, but obviously his job is probably more difficult than other corners.
Maybe, yeah. I guess. I don't know. 78th out of 110 just doesn't add up for me. But Minkah you have with a better grade than a lot of people would give him. You've got him at a 75. What is he doing well that maybe people don't see because he hasn't had a turnover in a long, long time?
Yeah, he's the fourth best run defense grade in the NFL for safeties. He's been an excellent run defender. It's been the best game for him throughout his entire career. Actually, his teammate Deshaun Elliott has the third best run defense grade among safeties as well. So Pittsburgh has two great run defending safeties that they have there. And yeah, Minkah's continuously been one of the best safeties that we have in the NFL. And that's no stranger to this year.
That's great stuff to me. Because Minkah oftentimes is asked to be a de facto linebacker, and he hammers people, and he's great in the run game. Hasn't been so good in the pass game, but it adds up to a really good grade for him. Lastly, I'll ask you about this guy. He's been a lightning rod, and PFF pushed to the playoffs in your fantasy league with in-season tools, award-winning rankings from fantasy expert Nathan, is it Janky?
Yonky, actually, yeah.
Yonky, yes. Do that at PFF.com. Patrick Queen, this is not a report card that he would put up on his refrigerator here. He's at a 50.9, which is 70th out of 81 at his position. Tell us a little more.
Yeah, he's had some issues this year, especially. He's been a really good pass rusher, which I think is what he was his entire career. But the run defending has just been an issue for him right now. He's the, I think he has a fourth worst run defense grade so far. Just some missed tackles on tape and just not really fitting the his assignments in the run game. He's a very hot and cold player. He's got some of the best athletic tools of any linebacker in the NFL. But you see some of the issues even dating back to his time in Baltimore. Sometimes the really athletic guys try to do too much out there, and sometimes you see the same thing with Patrick Queen instead of just kind of doing what their assignment is. So he's definitely still a good player, and like I said, maybe he's a better player than that grade would indicate, but I still think there's just a lot of issues in tackling and run defense he's got to fix right now.
Some of the linemen are ranked highly. The offensive linemen, we mentioned Frazier. James Daniels you had as the top player at his position in the whole league. The other end of the scale is Broderick Jones, 46.6. That's 73rd out of 76. That ain't good. What's happening there?
Yeah, he's struggled in pass blocking in his career so far, and even the run blocking hasn't been too pretty either. But he's definitely a developmental guy. Everyone kind of knew that of him coming out of Georgia. Really high upside because of his athletic tools. And offensive tackle, I will say, is one of the harder positions to come into the NFL and succeed immediately at. So you're kind of seeing him taking his lumps right now as a young player. And Pittsburgh is obviously still very hopeful that he can turn into a pretty good player, but obviously it hasn't really been too pretty for him so far in his career.
Max, great stuff. I mean, this always makes for really interesting conversation, whether people agree or disagree. That's the idea. I write columns for a living. If people didn't vehemently disagree with some of my columns, I'd be out of business. So thank you for coming on. Hope to talk to you again.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, man. There he goes. That's Max Chadwick from PFF. And PFF has you covered all season long with the best data, tools, and analysis in the game. How did the parting go with Max?
It is good. It went well.
Nice
maybe,
guy. I like
I'll
him.
See him up at Penn State this weekend.
I think some of the grades you sort of got to stick to. Like if they have Joey Porter as a bad grade, then they have him as a bad grade. Tell us why.
Yeah, I don't understand the whole that grade doesn't tell the full story compliment
I thought the grade does tell the full story. It's an aggregation of all the other little stories to tell you the final grade. And listen, it's a good point that, hey, maybe Joey Porter's grade won't be as high as somebody else's number three corner because they're covering different guys. Okay. So how is that not quantifiable? Give the other, let's say it's, give me three receivers, Jamar Chase,
let's Jefferson.
Jefferson.
And Lamb.
No, let's just say Zay Flowers. Let's say he had to cover those three guys the last game. Factor in their grades into his grade. You know what I mean? And make an adjustment. Find some way to quantify that. That's what they pride themselves on. They look deeper and give you a more real picture of what happened in a game than anybody else. So you can't say that's unquantifiable. Find a way to quantify it is what I would say.
Yeah, like if I have a C in my math test, then clearly I did not perform well. But if I thought I did really well and I was going up against maybe like the A math kids when I should have been in the B math, that's one way that you can put it. That maybe you need to put a little bit more of a quantifier, like an asterisk on the grade for more context. I mean, I don't get it.
Neither do I. I think Joey Porter's played very well. He's had some rough moments, don't get me wrong, but not to the point where he'd be a D if you graded him, not even close to that point. But I'd be very interested in hearing the case as to why. And I think the best that Max had was he's covering good people. Well, that's what he's supposed to do. That's why they drafted him. Is he doing a good job of that? Apparently not, according to them.
And apparently Myles Garrett did well enough to be Defensive Player of the Year for them last year. I'll never get over that.
On the pass rush win rate. And now there's a lot of things, too, though, that I do credit them for and agree with them on. Man, do they have a horrible grade for Ogunjobi so far. 48.5. Broderick Jones is like an F- at this point. It's unbelievable, his grade. Did you hear what I said?
F-.
I mean, he's...
he's been their worst offensive player, right? Considering expectations?
Yes. Yes. He has. Already looking forward to tomorrow. It's another Donnie Football Friday. Those have taken off like wildfire here. Limits.
50 we had a good preview with Donnie yesterday.
Yeah, we did. It's delicious. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester, very kindly.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
You had another little treat from earlier today. Limits on time check, right?
It's 1:46. It's now time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency to get help with those premiums. 724-443-5610.
And Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 24 Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing. Up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. High is 79 today. Beautiful outside. Read me some beautiful texts from our faithful listeners. It's Text in the City.
One of the texters is questioning and surprised, Joe, that it's the biggest Pitt game for years, maybe in the program since the ACC Championship. Pitt is a dog, 7.5-point dog against SMU, despite being ranked 18th in the country, SMU 20th. Why do you think that that is?
Vegas works in mysterious ways, my friend. They certainly do, but the obvious answer there is they don't think Pitt's for real, and they think SMU is, right?
They must. I mean, they must think that it's a bunch of fluke wins for Pitt.
Are there questions about Eli Holstein? Now, Narduzzi said he's going to play, correct?
Yes, Narduzzi said last night right here on the Fan that Eli Holstein will play.
But are there questions about him even though he has that designation of A, how will he hold up in the game? And B, what about his last couple games? Maybe Vegas is looking at that.
Yeah, I mean, I would understand if they're looking at the game before Syracuse as well, the Cal game. Eli Holstein did not play well in that game at all. Like a couple turnovers, 150 or so yards passing. And he didn't need to play well in the Syracuse game, but it's definitely something you can pinpoint.
That's beside the point, whether he needed to play well. He hasn't played well 2 weeks in a row, and he's coming off an injury. I don't know why they think this way, but maybe that's it.
I would hope your quarterback didn't need to play necessarily well and lose you the game if you have 3 pick sixes and 5 interceptions of the opposing quarterback, the best pocket passer in the country.
Next.
We get a texter here from Rich in Danville. Very complimentary text saying, as a St. E's and Baldwin High and Pitt alum, I'm an alum of 2 of those as well, that left the Berg in 74. I want to thank you guys for the great show you have. Retired in Virginia. It spends a lot of time with his 2 grandsons that he lives 2 miles away from. Says the way that you interact and respect each other with different age ranges is great.
What a nice man.
Very nice of him to say. Somebody else texts in, good afternoon, guys. I don't believe Sullivan has the ear of the team anymore. I believe change is necessary because you can't fire all the players, so the head coach should be the move. That's from Greg.
Sullivan wants them to be a hard team to play against. I don't know if you've ever heard that one before. He's been saying it for many years. They're an easy team to play against. He wants them to be responsible with the puck. They're irresponsible with the puck. He wants them to play sound, defensive, responsible hockey. They don't. They're last in the league in goals against, so they're not enacting what he wants them to. I know that's not complicated, but that's the bottom line here, and they haven't in a long time. But I think the moral of the story from that topic is not that many people really care right now. They're in it for the nostalgia tour. They don't expect much from the Penguins anymore. And the fact that in any other market, in any other sport, given what's went down the last 2 years of underachieving and a horrific start to the season, any coach would be on the firing line right now in that situation, but he apparently is not.
Quick final text. Great show, gentlemen. Did anyone hear Harry Callis talk about the Pirates maybe playing in the World Series against the Yankees next year? Is he getting high or not enough sleep? Yikes, David Irwin says.
Maybe a little bit of both. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow.